Thank you very much, Michael. I'm very pleased to be here, and I do want to emphasize that I am a product of a New England higher education. I went to Colby College. Thank you. And then went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. In part, I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison because they offered me a four-year fellowship, emphasizing that it does matter if you have some kind of financial aid and making kind of academic choices. I would also highlight that I'd like to give back to the academic institutions in which I'm affiliated. I'm on the advisory group for University of Wisconsin-Madison in the economics department, and I serve on the board of trustees at Colby College, which gives me at least a small window on some of the challenges that you all are facing day in and day out. Today I'm going to go through a group of slides. I saw there was a lot of data up on the screen, so that's good, because I'm an economist, I love data. I hopefully won't inundate you with the data, but I think it is an interesting time to look at what's happening in higher education and look at what's happening in the economy and looking at the nexus of the two. So at first blush, you wouldn't think that there was much of a nexus between people that are focused on higher education and central bankers. But I want to argue that actually there is a relatively close connection. So when I'm thinking about monetary policy, we tend to think about inflation and unemployment, and there are a set of variables that we take as given. Those variables tend to be the demographic variables, and you in this room kind of represent one of those demographic variables, which is educational attainment. So it's not that monetary policy doesn't worry about educational attainment. In fact, it does, because it has a big impact on things like productivity, and as you're going to see in a chart in a minute, the unemployment rate is vastly different for those people with higher educational attainment. But it's not something that the Federal Reserve can actually do very much about. Similarly, if you're an educator, you kind of take the economy as given. And you know that it matters because when you have high unemployment rates, when families are having great financial difficulties, it affects the student body that you're going to have. It affects the decisions you're making on financial aid. It affects whether you're thinking about providing grants or whether you're providing loans. All those decisions actually make a big difference. So the types of decisions you're making are very substantially affected by what's going on in the macroeconomy we're facing. So the macroeconomy that we're facing is not a particularly attractive one. The 9% unemployment, we had an employment report last Friday. Unemployment rate came down by a tenth of a percent, which is good news, but it's still unacceptably high. Economic growth has been a little bit better in the last quarter, but it still remains lethargic, not good enough to actually bring the unemployment rate down more quickly. So today I'm going to discuss some of the connections between what we're seeing in the employment patterns and what we're seeing with educational attainment. But before I do that, I just want to emphasize one thing. Michael and I were talking very briefly before the start of this program about the role of schools of higher education play in their communities. It's actually something that the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston is spending a lot of time thinking about, because many times a president of a college or university is thinking about what they can do as an educator, what they can do in relates to their endowment. But some, but not all, think of themselves also in an important way in terms of development. And we're in the right city to think about that. Boston's a great beneficiary of the colleges and universities that are in the immediate area. Boston is a much more vibrant place because of the colleges and universities that are here. But it's also the university's benefit from being in a city that college students want to go to. That combination actually is really important for the development in this region, and I would say that it's not just for the Harvards and MITs of the world, it's also to a community college, it's a small liberal arts school. Colby in Waterville, Maine is kind of an anchor tenant for that community. That's probably true for many of the schools that you all represent, and I think that is a really important topic, and I'm glad that's going to be the topic of the next meeting that you all are having. So let me get into a little bit of the data. So I said the unemployment rate was 9%, but the unemployment rate of 9% masks a great deal of variability within that 9%. So you can see the color coding. So blue on top, and in this case being high, is not good. Blue is less than a high school diploma, and as you go down, you have higher educational attainment. So you can see that for someone with less than a high school diploma, even though the overall unemployment rate is 9%, you can see that it's dramatically higher for people who have not been able to progress as far on the educational attainment scale. At the opposite end of the distribution is bachelor's degree or higher, and you can see it's dramatically lower. It's roughly a little bit over 4%, dramatically lower than the 9% that we're experiencing overall. Now, I do want to note one thing, which is while 4% is quite low for those people with a bachelor's degree or higher, you can see that it's still substantially higher than it was prior to this recession. So in all categories of educational attainment, it's up dramatically from where it was. But if you're choosing for yourself as an individual, clearly higher educational attainment means that the likelihood that you're going to be unemployed is much lower. Now, some people have looked at a chart like this and argued that there's not much that monetary policy can do because they're worried that it's structural unemployment. What does structural unemployment mean? Well, it means that you can't get somebody a college education overnight. So if all the demand in the economy is just for college-educated people, if I stimulate the economy through monetary policy, that's not going to be able to get anybody a college education quickly. And so it's been argued that monetary policy would not be particularly effective right now because so much of the unemployment is structural. I'm going to actually argue that that's not accurate, that there is a substantial amount of demand shortage in the economy. And let me show you a couple charts related to that. So while people with bachelor's degree or higher have substantially lower unemployment, if you look at this, and what it does is the first column looks at December 2007, right before we went into the recession. The second column looks at the current unemployment rate, and it just asks from that peak to the current time, how much has the unemployment rate increased? And what you see is across all educational attainment categories, the unemployment rate has actually gone up. Now, it's off a much lower base for people that have a college degree or higher, but nonetheless, it's gone up a lot. So it's not just people that are low-skilled that have been impacted by this economy. It's people of all skills. Well, that's much more reflective of a demand problem rather than a structural unemployment story. A second element to the structural unemployment story would be that if we expanded monetary policy, the effect would be that it would just cause prices to go up because skilled labor would be in short supply and they quickly start asking for higher wages and we start seeing a lot more inflation. So what's the evidence for that argument? Well, this looks at the employment cost index, so it's a wages, salaries, and benefits, and asks what's been happening. You can see the trend's been going down overall. But I think even more relevant is this looks at different occupations. So management and professional is presumably an area where you see highly skilled workers. And if you look at something like natural resources, construction, and maintenance, you're not seeing big differences across those categories. So it's not as if we're starting to see high-skilled workers getting much higher salaries and low-skilled workers getting much lower. What you're seeing is that trend is really across various categories and occupations. That's not a structural unemployment story. That's inadequate demand. And finally, just looking during the recovery period, and this chart's asking how much has the employment cost index, which is the total benefits, gone up for different occupational groups. So I take it from the beginning of the recovery, or what has seemed like a recovery, which was the second quarter of 2009 until the third quarter of 2011. So if it was a structural unemployment story, we'd see all these being vastly different. What instead you see is across occupational categories, they're actually very, very similar. And in fact, if you look at natural resources, construction, and maintenance, it's a little bit higher than the average. And if you look at management and professional, it's a little bit below the average. Well, that's telling us not really a structural unemployment. It's not just low-skilled workers that have been impacted by the very serious recession and the very slow recovery. It's really across all occupation classes, which is exactly why monetary policy has been trying to stimulate the economy in order to try to get demand to increase, because looking at this evidence doesn't tell us that structural unemployment is really what's causing the problem. There are other things besides unemployment that are affected by your decision about whether or not you're going to get a higher degree. And I think this shows it quite clearly. So it's showing you the median real household income on the left. And so going from the bottom to the top, you're increasing the educational attainment. So it's going from no high school to a doctorate degree. And what you can see is that the median real household income increases dramatically. So while the median household income is $50,000 roughly, you can see that if you're one of those people that has not gone to high school or has only a high school education, you're in a dramatically different position than somebody who has a graduate degree. So it just highlights the really big differences, and there are also really big differences in terms of the percent change from 1991 to 2010, which is shown on the right side. So areas of higher educational attainment have fared fairly well over the last 20 years. Areas of lower educational attainment have fared much more poorly over the last 20 years. This looks at net worth. So we look at unemployment, we look at median income, now we're looking at net worth. And again, what you can see is a college degree makes a significant difference in terms of the net worth of the individual. So the purple line shows what it was in 1989, the green line shows what it was in 2009. You can see that one, there's a big disparity between college degree and above and the other three sets of outcomes. But you can also see that college degree, the median, net worth has gone up dramatically, while in the other three categories there hasn't been much progress at all. It's just to highlight that the types of problems that you all are facing, the types of decisions you make, are really important. They're really important for an individual, but they're really important for society more general. It makes a big difference if you have more of your population distributed to the right of this rather than to the left. Next, I want to just quickly look at what's been happening overall in the economy. And this shows you the labor force for 25 years and above by educational attainment. And the good news is that you're actually seeing many more people or a higher percentage of people with a bachelor's degree or higher. That's particularly true in New England, by the way. So New England, we tend to be a highly educated, highly skilled workforce. So if I showed this kind of chart for New England, it would be even more dramatic. But it is a very positive sign that, at least from the students' perspective, they're understanding that this really does make a difference, that educational attainment has a big impact on whether they're going to be employed or unemployed. It has a big impact on what their median income will be. It has a big impact on what their net worth will be over time. But there are big differences even in those statistics in terms of educational attainment by race and ethnicity. And I just wanted to highlight that while, for example, the Asian population has done a very good job of getting a bachelor's degree or higher, in some of the minority categories, we're not performing nearly as well. I would highlight particularly in the Hispanic community, many of you are in cities. We've been doing a fair bit of work, for example, in Springfield, which has a very large Hispanic population, mostly Puerto Rican population. And you can see that the blue, which is less than high school diploma, is quite high relative to the other race and ethnicity. And the bachelor's degree or higher is relatively small. This just highlights that, given the other charts that I've shown, it becomes all the more important that we have reasonable access to higher education. So that starts at early childhood education and making sure that people have the kind of preparation they need through the high school years. But it also means once they're making a college decision, they have to be able to afford it. So there are big differences across these ethnic groups in terms of what the median income is. Also a big difference in terms of what the unemployment rate is. And so I know many of you are thinking about the diversity of the population that you're having in entering classes. It really does make a difference. If we want to have a society that has a reasonable distribution of income, then it's critically important that we make sure that people of all races and ethnicity have access to higher education. So what are the potential implications for everybody in this room? Well, one, who you admit really matters, but I think increasingly it's becoming important what kind of financial aid packages are actually being able to be provided. We're in an environment where government funds have become much more difficult to get. And when I talk to families, even the middle class families, you really are hearing significant discussions about what can we actually afford in terms of sending a student to college. And so that really becomes important as time goes on if people start making a decision that's just too expensive to get the education that nonetheless they realize will have an impact on their employment prospects, will have an impact on their income. Scarce funds being allocated, particularly thinking about loans versus grants. There's a lot going on about student loans and what kind of debt students have coming out of school. I think that is a very important issue for us to consider. And finally, I think we need to continue to make sure that across all races and ethnicity, we really do have a society where people can have the kind of educational experience that they can really thrive. One of the things that really gets to a topic that's going to be at the next conference is to what extent internships and other kinds of programs are important. I know there are some sessions later on today that are going to discuss some of this. We've been doing a fair bit of work at the Boston Fed looking at a middle skills shortage in New England. And that is particularly relevant for those of you that represent community colleges in this room. We've actually partnered with the Boston Chamber and a number of large employers to try to have a website that provides internship opportunities for students interested in Boston. It's just gone up and running about a month ago. But we're hoping over time that Boston's a very attractive city for many of the reasons that Michael highlighted. Human capital is really what sets Boston apart. So we need to attract people to this area, and then we need to retain them once they're here. And one of the ways you do that is through internship programs. The Boston Fed's been very active in internship programs. We're actually spending a lot more time thinking about how internships can lead to job growth and hiring. So before it was kind of one-off internship programs, we're now being much more thoughtful. We're trying to encourage the employers in the greater Boston area to do the same. Just some concluding remarks on monetary policy. I think there's a lot more that can be done in terms of making sure that we have an employment market that is robust for the students that are graduating. I would emphasize that the Federal Reserve cannot solve all the problems. So it becomes really important for fiscal policy to do its part to try to grow the economy. And anybody who reads the paper for the last week can continually hear about a relatively small country in Europe that seems to be dominating the headlines. So the Greek government going up or down, it seems like the stock market and everything else is moving to that. So we clearly need international policymakers to make the right kinds of decisions. But I would emphasize that the inflation rate is still quite low. Our own Boston Fed forecast has the inflation rate being below 2% over the next several years. That actually gives us the flexibility to have a more aggressive monetary policy than we otherwise would, with the goal of trying to improve the employment prospects for everybody, not only coming out of college, but for the economy more generally. So I went through those slides relatively quickly, but I'd be glad to take one or two quick questions so that we keep relatively on schedule.
In order for everyone to hear your question, we ask that you come up to the microphones in either of the aisles.